Susie and Jake and Natalie, they got to experience it. It's one nice thing about living in a home with a motor. You can drive away from things. So I took the three babies, and we went and had a Georgia experience. And I think it calmed Natalie's nerves, knowing her babies were not going to be there, you know. We just made a fun day out of it, you know. That's what we did. I mean, I didn't talk to him about hurricanes and all that. We just talked to him about going on a vacation with Papaw. And there was a little park at the place where we went, and the park was actually a lot like Salt Fork. If you've ever been around Salt Fork, it was a lot like that. So, and the kids had fun. But after about 3 days, I was there 5 days with them. After about 3 days, they were missing Mommy and missing Daddy. And Gabriel looked at me and he said, "Pap," he said, "how many more days?" That's how he said it. "How many more sleeps?" I said, "We got two more sleeps." He said, "Oh, okay. So I'm going to tell you, honey, I got one more sleep. And I'll be back." She's watching this morning because I'm up here, you know. So I got one more sleep, you know, and I'll be back with them. I want to talk about prayer this morning. I want to talk about keys. I thought that was cool, Mike. You had a little thing. Every one of Mike's jokes has a moral. I don't know if you get it or not, but they all have a moral. The moral is, don't let a bear be more Christian than you. Yeah. All right? At least he prays over his food. I've been with Christians, they don't even pray over their food, you know. I mean, don't let a bear be more Christian than you. But I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about keys to prayer, keys to answer. Now, I've taught so many times on prayer here. I taught about getting your loved ones saved, you know, and I can't add to that because, you know, what I taught is what you got to do, and there's no way I can add to that, you know, but there is a protocol. See, God has a protocol. We've dumbed everything so down in the Christian church. I mean, if you ever read some of Spurgeon's messages and Finney's messages, you'd go, huh? You wouldn't even understand them, you know? But we've dumbed things so down in the church world today that people think prayer is just, oh, hi, Lord, you know. Just go have a little talk with Jesus, you know. I mean, prayer is so much more than that. I mean, you can pray and 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 not get your prayers answered. Over and over and over and over and over again and not get your prayers answered. You know, because you haven't obeyed the protocol to prayer. Prayer has a protocol. Everything in the kingdom has a protocol. It has a key. It has a step. You know, you remember Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Unto you, Peter, unto this announcement." Now, the Catholic Church went nuts and said, "Peter, stand at the gate with keys." You know, that's not what he said. "Unto you I give the keys to the kingdom of heaven, unto the announcement that I am the Christ." And we know in Acts, he gives the keys to the kingdom. He says, he doesn't say you go to an altar and pray. He didn't say, when the preacher says and you feel conviction because you got caught, to come up to the altar and confess. He didn't say that. He said, repent. Because repentance is a sign of change, you know. I remember when I first got saved, everybody kept saying there was something strange about me. All my buddies, there's something different about you, Don. And I'd say, yeah, I didn't even understand what I was saying, to be honest with you, because, you know, I don't know anything about church. I told them, I got Jesus in my life. Oh, okay. Okay, one of my really good friends, he goes, yeah, I knew a guy like you one time. He was a real fanatic. It lasted about 6 months. Then he was back to normal. I called that guy 2 years ago. I called that guy when we went up to Maine. I called him on the phone. I said, "Hey, this is Don Nice." He goes, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Yeah, it lasted more than 6 months." He said, "I guess it did." He said, "I heard a vicious rumor." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You're a pastor?" I said, absolutely. He goes, oh, my gosh, I'd never picked that one. I said, me neither. Me neither. But there is keys, you know. I mean, if you want to go outside and drive one of those vehicles out there, you have to have the key to it. You know, how many has ever come to the church and can't get in? Because you don't have a key. It takes a key. How many of you have ever went to your house and remembered you left your keys in the house? And it's locked. And what are you doing? You're playing criminal and breaking windows and, you know, hoping nobody sees you and calls you or calls the police on you, you know, especially if it's at nighttime. Because you don't have a key, you know. And that's actually how it is with answered prayer. There is a protocol that you go through to get your prayers answered. And you have to follow that protocol, you know. I mean, he goes on. Now, let me just say this before I go any farther. Asking God is powerful, you know, and answered prayer is powerful. I remember when my wife introduced me, she was, you know, just my, I don't know, if we didn't really have a fiance thing. I mean, I knew her and married her in 3 months. There wasn't no engagement. God, I don't even think it was 3 months. Almost 3 months. But she looked at her mom, and she introduced me to her mom, and she says, I'm going to have him praying for you because God answers his prayers. And I went, oh. I mean, it was really like probably one of the most powerful compliments she ever gave me. I love you, honey. One of the most powerful compliments she's ever given me, you know, that he answers my prayers, and he does. He does, and I know that, you know. In James chapter 4, he says this. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive it because you ask it with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. I mean, quite frankly, he says the reason most people don't have, they complain about not having, but they really haven't asked. And please listen to me. I am not saying, God, will you do this? That's not what I'm saying when I say ask. That's not what I'm saying. Because we do that endlessly. You know, like Mike's joke with the atheist. An atheist will pray. You know, I used to have a Christian t-shirt I made, had a bunch of hands out of the flames. It says, there are no atheists in hell. They all believe in God. We have got to understand that asking is more than just some simple statement, you know, but instead it's a profound revelation. You do not have because you do not ask. You think sometimes, like myself, God's too busy. He's on with bigger things, you know, and my request is kind of insignificant compared to running a universe, you know. And, I mean, I'm not talking about asking him what type of laundry detergent you should use. You know what I'm saying? I had a lady in one church time tell me that I have really prayed whether I should use Tide or Cheer. Okay, I got a prayer list I can give you. If you have time. Pray over laundry detergent. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, you know. The biggest reason people don't ask, they don't know if God will answer it. And they kind of don't want to put God on the spot, you know. He says you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, the reason I don't do it is because your motives are not pure. Your motives for asking is not right. Now, if you're a parent, you know it is really normal for your children to ask you for things, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. They're going to ask. They're going to ask. They're going to ask. They're going to ask. You know, they're going to ask you to take them somewhere, and you're going to say no. And then you ask them to do something, and they're going to look at you and say, but I'm so tired. That was not pure motives, you know? And, you know, the whole object of prayer is walking through God's protocol. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to give you some scripture. I don't know if I'll get done with this thing or not. I'm going to go as far as I can. He says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. I love this. Get this in your head. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now let me stop before I read the rest of it. That didn't say he answered it. I've heard people say that this prayer says he hears and answers everything. I did not say what that, that's not what this verse says. It says he hears everything you ask him. You got an attention. Okay? And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we ask for him. So how many has ever prayed a prayer and God didn't do it? Well, there's something wrong here. Either the Bible is a lie, and I don't believe that, or there's something different about this word ask that I don't quite understand. What it means to actually ask, you know? Well, let me give you the keys, and they're right here. I mean, all of them is right in what I just read. The first key is you have to determine the will of God and then ask for it. You have to determine the will of God. And then once you know what the will of God is, you ask the will of God. You know, we pray, we search the scriptures, we look for God's will, we ask for wisdom according to James, and we know that he will answer his will. The greatest confidence in prayer, once you have discerned God's will, is just to ask the will of God. Now, how can I tell you some things? Okay, I can tell you some things that I know are absolutely God's will. I can tell you right now. Scripture even says it is the will of God. It is the will of God that every person, every single person on the planet gets saved and have a born-again experience. Even these dogs that are getting in trucks and driving over people and killing people in the name of ISIS or Allah or whatever name they use anymore. It's God's will that they become saved. Will everybody on the planet be saved? No. No. I mean, he even talks about half the church ain't saved. He said only about half that go to church is actually saved. So, what is the will of God? We know absolutely the will of God is everyone have salvation. The will of God is that everybody go through the sanctification process. He says, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And that's the process of the Lord cleaning you up. That's the only way I can do it. It's washing the laundry, man, while you're wearing it. That's what sanctification is. The process of cleaning you out and cleaning you up and making you into a new creation. He said, this is the will of God, that all people have my spirit. That all people have my spirit. That they all be filled with the Spirit of God. This is the will of God. I mean, I don't have to question them. That's what it says is the will of God. All those things are the will of God. Now, there's much, much more. I don't have time. But we know that when we pray for somebody to get saved, we can pray with confidence because we know it's his will. Okay, so we don't have to question whether that's his will or not, you know. Hope you're getting it. Hope you're getting it. It says he hears us. So we know we've gained an audience. The question is, do you believe that your prayers will be answered? In 1 John 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, there we go. There we go. There we go. While we're asking, we're thinking about us. I really like that neighbor to get saved because I'm sick of fighting with him. If they'd only get saved, them dumb kids. We're thinking about us. We have confidence before God and we receive him. Anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. So the second key, please listen to me, is to obey his commands. After you have obeyed his commands, listen to me, your heart does not condemn you and your petitions are answered. Oh, that is so, so powerful. That you obey his commands. That you do what he says. I don't care if you don't like it or not. There's a whole lot of stuff in this Bible I don't like. Pray for your enemies. I'd rather slap them in the side of the head. Don, he doesn't just say pray. He says, I want you to do good for them. Okay. You know, I don't preach nothing I don't know. I've been around the horn, okay? If I'm up here saying it, I know it works. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I worked with a pig. He picked on Kayla, and that made me, oh. Whew, the guy was a pig. Susie brought her class to the, we had a Christian school in our church, and she brought her class, and Kayla was in it, and he goes, who's that little girl up there? I looked up there, and it was Kayla. He's just, probably 13, 14. I looked at him. I said, that's my daughter, you dog. You know? And he was. The guy was a dog. There's no other way to describe the guy. He was a pig. He talked like a pig. The F word was, you know, every fourth word out of his mouth. And he didn't care I was a preacher. He didn't care a bit. He looked at me one time. He says, you don't intimidate me, you preacher. I said, oh, I don't want to intimidate you. He says, you know why you don't intimidate me? I said, no, why? He said, because I'm the devil. Okay. How you doing, Satan? He looked back at me. I said, you don't intimidate me either. You know? And they had this thing called super quota. You make so many baskets. You get to leave. Now, not every basket had a attainable super quota, but the ones I did. And usually I make about $100 in the summertime. I clean up and go. You know, and sometimes I'd be out there in 4 hours, you know, instead of putting the whole shift in. And I go back and hit the hammock, you know, in the shade for a couple hours. Because I don't like getting up early and had to get up early. I'd clean up my mess, and you know what? I'd say, flip your top up, buddy. He flip his horse up. I clean his mess up. You know? I clean the mess of a pig up. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I first started doing it, I didn't want to do it. But I actually believed the Lord wanted me to do it because he spoke his scripture to me. Do good to those who persecute you. And this is one thing that I can do because I ain't connecting with this guy outside of this place. Me and him ain't having no relationship outside of this place. And so I could do something for him while I was in here. So I cleaned his mess up. I did it every day in the summertime. One day he looked at me and he says, you ain't going to have to clean my mess up today. I said, okay. I said, why? He says, because I'm leaving in 2 hours. I said, well, that's a fast super quota because, you know, he stayed to the last possible second when they told him to leave, you know. He said, no. He said, I got a doctor's appointment. I got to get out of here. I said, oh, all right. So a couple hours into this thing, he's cleaned up. He says, flip your horse up. I flip my horse up, and he starts sweeping up my mess, and the guy behind him goes, hey, Larry, while you're busy. He says, I ain't cleaning your mess up. Yeah, you're cleaning his mess up. He said, that boy cleans my mess up every single day. He said, this is the least I could do. I'm thinking, he ain't so much of a devil, is he? Because the devil never does nice. You know? But it's the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, you know. It's just the scriptures in action. It's obeying the word. And when you obey the word, you open a door to heaven to ask. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his command. There is something, a direct connection of cause and effect, a link between obedience to God and answered prayer. When we receive him, anything we ask because we obey his commands. That's the cause and effect of this thing. When you ask, you receive because you have obeyed. Oh, hallelujah, because you have obeyed. And we have to get that in our heads. So powerful. obeying what the Bible says. I don't really care if you don't like it. That's not the part of it. See, here's the problem. If you say, I know the Bible says that, but I don't like it, and you don't obey it, listen, I have a question for that. I have to question your motives. You know, what is your motives for not obeying what the Bible says? You know, what is that all about? You know? And you know, and we live in church world. Most of us just live in church world, where we don't even touch the outside world hardly. We just live in church world. And you know, we're around people that primarily are not pigs, like this guy, but they don't obey what the Bible says. And you know, and that's why he says, when I come back, five were wise, listen to me, and five were foolish. You know, they didn't take no oil. I mean, that pretty much tells me that about half of the church is going to be left behind during the rapture, because that's what that verse is all about, the rapture, going to the wedding. And so we have to be really careful that we always obey what the Bible says. Thirdly, third key, you have to live a life that's pleasing to God. Then you ask your petitions. In John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. Lord, have mercy. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He has to tell us that he does the things that please the Father. Always. You really think he wanted to go to a cross? Come on, folks. I mean, he tried to get out of it twice. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. The Bible says he went and prayed and he come back and they're all asleep. He woke them all up. Come on, couldn't you sleep? Could you just pray for an hour? Oh, yeah, yeah, Lord, we're ready. We're ready to die for you. They couldn't even pray. He goes and prays again, comes back another hour, they're still laying there asleep. Okay, take your rest. I know what the will of God is. Take your rest. Even when Peter grabbed a sword and started chopping people's heads and ears, he said, put away your sword. I know what the will of God is right now. Put away your sword. This is God's will. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if them disciples been up tarrying in prayer, maybe God come up with another way. See, we forget the part about Jesus being human. Totally human, totally God. I do always the things that please the Father. Oh, hallelujah. There's power in praying to God that originates from a life that pleases God. You know, in the opposite, Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and 7, he says, dishonor your wife and your prayers will be hindered. He won't hear you if you're arguing with honey. Well, don't waste your breath. You and honey's having a fight. Forget it. Call somebody. Say, will you please pray for me? Because he ain't listening to me. That's what it says. I mean, I'll take what you want it to mean. That's what it says to me. That's why years and years ago, me and Susie started driving separately to church. Because getting all those kids ready on Sunday morning, you know one of them is going to lose a shoe. And I'm ready to go, you know. And you know they have to have that particular shoe or shirt or sweater or purse or whatever. And me and her is getting tested each other to the point where we actually have words on a few occasions. And I'm standing up there behind the pulpit smiling. And my wife is sitting over here with daggers that could cut my heart out if I look at her. I said, this ain't happening. Devil, you ain't getting me like this. I got up and hit the house before the kids even crossed out of the bed. No fights between us on Sunday mornings. I ain't giving him no room. Somebody might need me that morning, and I can't even pray for him because God won't even listen to me. In John 15:7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, oh gosh, and it will be given. Number four, walk close to Jesus. That's what it means to remain in. Walk close to him and then ask, and it will be given. Now, I know some of you don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about walking close to him. I was a security guard. My first few years of being a Christian and being married. And it was all a test. You know, the Lord, you're going to do this or not, you know? You're going to obey me or not? You're going to do what I want you to do or not, you know? While I was there, I had no admirations of being a preacher. I had no admiration of being a pastor, but I did have admirations of being a Bible student. One thing I wanted to do, whatever I get involved in, I commit to it. And so if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to know what that book says. And so that was my commitment. And one day I got to praying. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got to praying in a guard check. I had an hour before the next guard would be there. And quite frankly, you don't guard anything. I mean, that's simple as that. You're just there. You're kind of like in Florida, they park cop cars all over the place with no policemen in them. And people are going, hitting the brakes, you know. There's no cop in the car, you know. Cool. But I started praying. And, you know, there's times I would walk like this, like I'm walking right now. I'm talking about prayer, so I'm walking like this. This is the way I would pray. I'd walk and pray. And there would be times that I feel like I was so close to Jesus, I would turn around and almost have to say, excuse me, because we run into each other. And I begin to pray. And I began to pray in tongues. And a terrible, scary thing happened in my life. I prayed and got so wrapped up in it that I couldn't talk English. And why was I worried about that? I was afraid the phone was going to ring. What do you do? You prayed in tongues and you're talking. And I'm serious. I tried to talk English. And the words wouldn't come out. Tongues came out. It's the weirdest thing I ever had. Never had it happen ever since. But that's what I'm talking about by being close to him. By remaining in him. When something happens, you don't fall apart. You know that there's a plan in this. And you don't know what the plan is. I mean, we're not mind readers and we absolutely can't read the mind of God, but we know that he's in the plan and that whatever's happening, he's here, he's close, you know. Imagine you're asking God for help with Jesus standing right beside you. And as you're petitioning God on the throne, Jesus is saying, amen. 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 See, that's what it means to be in his presence. You know, there's a protocol. I just wish you could get that. Because, well, I don't like to sing. Well, you're never going to be in God's presence. You're going to sit in the house of God while God is right there and not be in his presence because you don't like to sing. And for those of you who are like me that care carry a tune in a bucket, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. That's why he gives us the out clause, make a joyful noise. And my singing is noise. Okay? Hallelujah. It's noise. You know? Don't stand in front of me. That's why I stand in the front. I don't want to stand behind people. They listen to me, man. I stand up here where only God can hear me. If I stand in behind you, you're going to turn around and look at me while I'm singing. Because I'm loud and off tune. But he says, come before my presence with singing. You want to be in his presence? Quit shutting the flapper and let it flap. I didn't put it in the Bible. He did. He says, enter my courts with praise and my gates with thanksgiving. He made all these protocols. And it doesn't matter whether we like them or not. If we want to be in his presence, we got to sing. People say, why do you sing before? We want to be in his presence. God can do more in 1 millimeter of a second than you can do in 10 weeks. You know, that's why it's important that your families are in the presence of God, feeling that power, because they ain't going to feel the presence in front of the TV set. They're not going to feel the presence, you know, sitting somewhere else at a ball game or something. They're going to feel the presence in the house of God. And if you want him to hear your prayers and answer them, you got to be close to him. You got to be close to him. Number five, it says you got to be full of the word. You have to be full of the word. And then you ask. He says, if my words remain in you, ask and it will be given. Full of God's word. Your faith will be strong when you're full of God's word. Because you know he don't answer everything in 6 seconds. Some things he does. But when you're full of God's word, you have the confidence that he's working out the plan of answering your prayer. And so you have to remember that. You have to remember that you have to be full of his word. And Lord have mercy, you can't just look at this thing on Sunday and consider that full of the word. You know, the church world has let the devil steal church services from us. We've let him take them. You know? I mean, when I come into this thing, we had Sunday school on Sunday morning. We had Sunday morning worship. We had Sunday evening worship. We had Wednesday evening worship. And sometimes we'd have a Bible study at somebody's house. Now it's like an effort to get here on Sunday morning. We've let him one by one. The children's sports program stole the Wednesday night away from us. They took them away. We let the school system take the children. They took our system away. They did everything on Wednesday, and they took all of our kids out of Wednesday night. Because you know their sports are way more important than church and their discipleship. You know that? We let things be taken away from us. Touched by an Angel took away Sunday night. I seen the fall of Sunday night when Touched by an Angel came on TV. I watched it happen in my church. Well, you know, I'm in church. I'm watching Touched by an Angel, which to me was almost an atheist program because it taught an image of God that's not real. And we've let everything be taken away from us. I remember going in there on Sunday night, and all the women took their shoes off. They were going to dance. They're going to put some blood on the devil's head. You remember them days, guys? And we're going to sing. I don't care. Who cares if it's 10, 20, 30, 40, 60? Remember those days, Brandon? People didn't care how long it was. No clock, you know. We didn't let the world schedule a bunch of stuff for us at 12:30. You know? Well, you know I'm having this birthday party at 12:30. Are you going to be there? Tough. No. So if you want it, 3 o'clock, I might be there. 12:30, forget it. But we just let the world do it all to us. And then wonder why we don't have no power to pray. Oh, I can't believe you're not answering prayers, Lord. When you're full of the Word, you know what He wants. You just pray it. Number six. Well, I'm moving right along. James 1, 5, and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, I could stop right there, but I'm not going to. Hey, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've seen some lack of wisdom in the church. He should ask God, who gives generously to him without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And it will be given to him. And it will be given to her. But there it is. There's the one that takes it all away. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. In Matthew 21, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. So key number six, we bring our lacks and needs before God and then ask. And then ask, what do you need? You bring your lacks. See, church world got infected probably about 40 years ago, I'll say, with this ideology that all you have to do is believe and you're saved. You know what I'm saying? All these preachers were preaching it, and all you have to do is believe and you're saved. Why? Well, I got verse for that. Sister, I got verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we quote that one verse. Listen to me. One verse, which, by the way, listen, Jesus didn't say. We quote that one verse, and we got this ideology now that if you believe, you're okay. And so that's created this whole mindset that all you have to do to be saved is believe. You know, believe in God, and everything's okay. Just believe. Believe, 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 and everything's okay. Hunky-dory. Everything will work out. Just believe. And then the church started preaching, God has a wonderful plan for your life. You know, they started preaching that message along with the believe. And that got them to come to church so they could find that wonderful plan, you know, because I'm believing now and I need that wonderful plan that God has for my life, you know. And they created a bunch of deceived people. Because the Bible says, particularly the parables, that there are 50-50. He says, I mean, if you go through the parables, I don't have time. I mean, it's noon. I don't have time to go through the parables. Let me just do a couple of them, you know. He casts the net. He brings it in. It's called the parable of the net. He brings them in and he separates the good fish from the bad fish. On my right hand are the sheep. On my left hand are the goats. They're both in his hand. There are 10 virgins, meaning pure. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. There's dozens of parables about deceived people. And so the biggest fight, and you know, how many of you have ever heard John 10:10? How many know what I'm talking about when I say John 10:10? Anybody know that verse? John 10:10. Come on, folks. You reading the Bible? Hey, I ain't been away that long. You reading the Bible? Let me start it out. The thief comes. Yeah, now you know it. But to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And everybody says, that's the devil. He's the thief. That's not what that verse is talking about. I'm not even going to finish it. I want you to finish it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you because. But I'm not going to finish the verse. I'm going to go ahead and tell you because I may not tell you the next time, you know. It's talking about false preaching. It's talking about false shepherds, talking about people that try to get in another way, you know. And so he warns us. Now, I know all these preachers that preach this message that he's talking about the devil. That's not what he's talking about. Is the devil a thief? Absolutely. The Bible says he's a father of lies. Does he kill? Yes. Does he destroy? Yes. So I'm not saying the devil doesn't do all these things. I'm telling you that verse ain't talking about it. You can't quote it about the devil. It's talking about false shepherds leading people astray by telling them all you have to do is believe. And that's good enough. No, it's not. How many of you, and I do want you to raise your hands, okay? I do want you to raise your hands because I want to get a look here. How many of you believe that the devil believes in God? Why ain't it working out for him? Because I've read the end of the book, and it don't work out very good for him. One little angel puts a chain around him and throws him in a pit. It don't work out good for him at all. He believes. He even goes on in James to say the devils believe and they tremble. So why ain't it working out? Because it ain't what you need to do. Peter gave us the principle in Acts 2, you need to repent. Is belief important? You better believe it's important. You better believe it's important. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Is it important? Yes. If you lack wisdom, God, and boy, I've used that so much lately, please give me wisdom. If you lack finances, Lord, you're going to fix this thing, you know, because I don't even know what to do anymore. So you have to follow the protocol of believing, but belief that is real has feet to it. It's not some shallow, I believe. It's got feet to it. You know? It's number 7. Lord, my body is in need of healing. Will you touch it? We ask in faith, nothing wavering, is what the scripture says. Ask in faith, not wavering. Why not? Jesus promised that if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask. See, I said that. But the problem is you were believing superficially. You weren't believing it was really going to be done. You know, we pray about something, God does it, and we go, wow. You know, what does that tell you about it? You know? I mean, if you pray and God surprises you and actually does it, you go, wow. Where was the faith in that? You know? A key is asking in faith. You know, the guy that you remember, you know, back in the 1800s, a guy stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls. He said, how many of you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across? Well, about half of them said, yeah, we believe that. So he took the wheelbarrow and he pushed it across Niagara Falls. True story. He pushed it across Niagara Falls. He got to the other side and he said, how many of you believe I can push it back? All of them raised their hands. Why? They saw him just push it across. He said, now, who will get in the wheelbarrow? I can tell you the truth. Nobody got in the wheelbarrow because, listen, nobody believed. That's what God's telling you. Get in my wheelbarrow. That's what faith is. It's trust. Get in my wheelbarrow. When you pray and trust, I mean, you're not praying hoping. You know, hoping don't work in the prayer world. It don't work. Hope is so important, but it don't work in prayer life. Hope is shallow. Hope is weight. But it isn't prayer. It isn't for prayer. Faith is for prayer. Faith is getting in the wheelbarrow and saying, let's go, bud. Because I believe. You know? See, we don't want to get in the wheelbarrow. Yeah, I know. I know what the Bible says. You know, but I watched a soap opera last week, you know. I don't know. We start letting our heart condemn us. And then, you know, we can't believe in faith. And here it is. You ain't gonna get it. Period. It does say nothing wavering. Key number 8. Have a prayer partner. Someone who will agree with you in prayer. And I have to tell you this. About some things, yes, but not necessarily your wife or your husband. Okay? About some things, yes, you pray with your spouse. But generally, a good prayer partner is someone of the same sex that can agree together on something. And there's, let me read it. There's power in it. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I tell you, if any two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, I am there in the midst. So God is never impressed with numbers. He's never impressed. I mean, church world's impressed with numbers. God isn't. Two or three. You know, you have a prayer group. We've had a prayer group here for, good Lord, over 10 years. And there's just been two, right, Darlene? Three, four, some have got in it, and then they just kind of fizzled away. But two or three. He's not impressed with numbers. He doesn't need a bunch of numbers. You need someone who's like-minded. And I can tell you right now from absolute fact, I can tell you right now, listen, from absolute fact, I can tell you this works. My buddy and I went to the same church. We joined hand in that church. We were both involved in kids and youth ministry. We joined hand in that church and we said, Lord, from this day forward, drugs will not enter our high school system. We bind them in this town. We bind them. Nobody gonna be smoking dope in youth group. And we got together and we agreed. I wish I'd love to tell you I believed that was gonna happen. But I really didn't. But I did it. And we were so sincere. I had kids that were getting ready to become teenagers. You know? We were so sincere. I heard from a drug dealer that we knew personally that said, one thing I can't understand is why I can't get no pot anymore. I don't understand. My pot supply is just dried up. I'm like, what? You know? Me and him would agree every single week on that prayer. We would get together and pray and agree every week on that prayer. And they dried up in a whole town. It amazed me. I was dazzled. This is when I first realized, God hears me! And then he moved away. And the prayer stopped. Because I'm just not a phone person, let's put it that way. Guess what? The drugs came back. That's your power, folks. That's your power. You just don't realize it. You don't realize it. That's the benefit of this group right here. You know, when we have prayer, it's unified voices believing on a single thing. And having other believers agree with you. Let me finish with last one. Here it is. This is kind of the tough one, but it is a key. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Now, let me just say something. Your asking changes. You make sure you understand that part. If you ask God for something, you continue to water it by thanking Him and not by continually begging Him. Although I will tell you, this, and you guys know I'm telling you the truth. If you keep hounding him, he'll eventually do it. I'm serious. And here's the thing. When you get it, you'll probably wish you didn't have it. You know? Remember the first time I got a new vehicle? Paid about $450 a month in payment. I was a young guy, man. I had no credit. Man, I got in that thing. Smell of a new car. This was a new truck, but oh, does it smell good, man. 7 miles. That's all this truck has on it. Oh, this is so awesome. For about 3 weeks, I get in that car and I just, you know, just kind of dust the seat off a little bit, you know, and sit in there. And then the payment book come. Don't you ever say God blessed you with a car. If he gave it to you and you don't have to pay for it, he blessed you with it. But when you got to pay $500 a month plus insurance, hey, that ain't so much of a blessing. That took all the fun out of it, looking at that payment book, because it was like that thick. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who finds, seeks finds. And he who to him who knocks, the door will be open. And Jesus illustrated this principle with us when he was talking about the guy who came and asked for bread for some fellow travelers who were staying at his house. I need some bread. It's 2 a.m. I'm not getting up and baking you bread. I need some bread. It's late at night. Go. Come back tomorrow. I need some bread. All right, all right. He said, see if I can find some around downstairs. And he gave it to him. And he said he gave it to him because he did what? He does. I mean, there are times. Everything that I'm talking to you about, and if you don't know what I mean by Holy Spirit, you're in dazzle land. You don't even know what I'm talking about. If you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know when this is a spirit thing and when this is not a spirit thing. Because the Spirit uses lights to guide you, red, yellow, and green. He uses these things to guide you in your spirit life. You know, when am I supposed to continue to hammer you on this, Lord, or do you have another plan? You know, and the Holy Ghost will tell you. Man, if you ain't hearing God talk, do you really know if you're saved or not? Because he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We have to hear him. I have to hear him. I'm not talking about like you're hearing me now. I'm talking about you hear him in your spirit. You hear him? You're not going to hear a voice. I've had one time in my whole life I heard God's voice. I heard his voice. Period. And when you hear God's voice, it spooks you. I stopped the truck, got out, and started looking around in the truck for a speaker or a walkie-talkie because he spoke to me. Well, I was always in la-la land, and he wanted to get my attention. Don't give up. You got breath in your body. Don't give up. Don't give up on them stubborn kids that you'd like to hit them in the head with a baseball bat because you know they know better. Don't give up. Don't give up on them. Oh, hallelujah. Stand up with me.